there's a lot of things I feel like God has put on my heart to share. But before we do that, I just really want to take a moment just to pause.
Is that okay? It was interesting because as I watched your incredible children worship and lead us in worship, and then to allow some of the younger adults to lead us into worship, I couldn't help but think, man, God just enjoys, it says he inhabits the praises of his people. And he loves them. And while I may have a microphone and I may be able to project my voice, I believe the Lord has moments where, and truly more than just moments, but he wants to hear all of us together. And so, you know, we can sing things lyrically, and that's so amazing. I love that. I love to be able to have something to follow along to. But, you know, sometimes your voice and just what you worship to the Lord genuinely is exactly what he wants to hear. And so I'm just going to ask if we just begin to raise our voices for just a few moments. And for some of us, maybe I've been to a service before and actually I'm still in the back of the service, so I know all of you can use your voice. I would urge you to use it. And so would you just join me this afternoon? Can we just do that together? Just begin to pray. Just use your own words, even a thank you. I'll give a thumbs up for our kids section. So they're ready to go. Can we just do that? Lord, we just thank you today. God, we thank you for who you are. You're worthy to be worshipped. We thank you that there is no place we'd rather be right now than to be in your presence. So we trust you today. We put it all in front of you, Lord, all of the highs and the lows and everything in between. But God, we just honor you that you are Lord over all. Even in the midst of what feel messy or muddy, Lord, I thank you today, God, that it doesn't change the fact that you still have victory. So I thank you today, even as we have realized and recognized your sacrifice and your resurrection today, we realize, Lord, that you have come for us. You've come to be in relationship with us. So Lord, today we receive you. We receive this word that will be shared this afternoon. May it change our lives from the inside out. Lord, I pray today, may it not just be something that informs us, but may it transform us today. May we see it, may we observe it, Lord, may we embrace it, and may it be the life-giving and life-changing, Lord, that you desire within us. And we thank you today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, it is good to be together. If you don't know me, that's okay. I am so honored and privileged to be able to be here with you this afternoon. It really is an honor. So I want to thank you. I want to thank Brother Solomon for allowing me to be here this afternoon to speak and to preach and really just to connect with you. That's truly what I desire to do and I want to do. I am the campus pastor here at Poplar Creek Church Greenfield. And so I have been the campus pastor for about 3 years now in this capacity, but overall I have been a part of the church for 12 years. So I've been a part of that. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. I'm kind of getting over a little bit of sickness, if I'm being honest. So this is incredibly helpful. So thank you, my friend, for saturating me with some water. But I want to share with you, actually, I had an opportunity to interview with Solomon. We did a little podcast this morning during our 9 o'clock hour and had an opportunity to share and connect. And I am just so grateful. It helps me realize that the church is much wider than we realize. The church is much wider. There's so much more that God is doing that's at hand than we sometimes recognize or realize. I am getting some good reverb in this mic. I feel like I don't know, I feel like I'm repeating myself 5 times. Is that okay? Do we want to change it up here? Is that right? All right. Well, I'll let you work on it. If it doesn't work, it's okay. We'll just keep going. But anyways, I am so grateful to be together. We had an opportunity to share and have a conversation. It was just an incredible time, and I am looking forward to the opportunity and partnerships, whatever capacity it may look like. But I am so grateful at least to know that the church is wider and God is doing some great things sometimes that we don't always fully observe and see until we get an opportunity to encounter it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Now, I will say it's a little bit tough to follow this act because they were all amazing this morning. And so, but I am thankful that you let a first-time guest preach to you this afternoon. So it's good to be together. I have, I'm gonna see if I can get this right. Jesus Katana. So grateful to God that I got that right. So I've been practicing all afternoon. But anyways, Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a message that I was contemplating whether I was going to share this message with you this afternoon, but it's the same message I preached this morning. And I was actually debating, do I share this message, Lord? What do you have? And what do you want to do? And what do you want to share with my Ethiopian friends today? And as I was, Brother Solomon stayed with us through service this morning, and actually, I was thinking and trying to contemplate, and he came in and he said, I love that message this morning. morning, and halfway into it, I was like, this would be a great message for our service this afternoon. So I'm going to be sharing with you that message this morning. We've been in a series called I Am. We have been identifying the seven, working and walking through the seven I Am phrases that Jesus uses all throughout Scripture and in his time here on earth. Before he, obviously, we know, went to the cross, crucified, died, but rose again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to talk about this I Am statement, and the I Am statement we're going to address today is, I am the resurrection and the life. That's the one we're going to talk about and address today. So if you have your Bible, if you've got a notepad and a pen, if you have a phone that you're taking notes on, don't worry, nobody around you is going to judge you if you're taking notes, okay? So if you want to do that this afternoon, you're more than welcome to. And I just believe that sometimes we try to remember things, right? I don't always have the greatest memory, but I can tell you if I write it down, paper starts a fire. Is it not? Paper starts a fire, and that's not your cue to do anything with that paper just yet. But anyways, we're going to talk a little bit about the resurrection and the life, but how many of you know there are things in our lives that are helpers to us? How many of you know that? Are you aware of that? How many of you have some helpers in your life? Solomon was a helper today to me, as I said, Jesus Catano, because I would not have been able to say that without his help. And so I learned from him, he was my help, and I was comforted to know I got that right. But we all have helpers. And if you're not convinced that you have helpers in your life, I'm going to help you recognize that this afternoon, if that's okay. You know, the truth is when you woke up this morning, you probably pulled your head off of a pillow, right? How many of you, you pulled your head off of a pillow today? Some of you maybe a little bit tougher to pull your head off the pillow, right? Some of us a little bit harder, we like to sleep in, we work late, whatever the case may be. But the truth is, without that pillow, we probably would have put our head on some type of rock-hard ground, right? Or we would have just simply been uncomfortable. See, the pillow provides us a sense of comfort, and it actually redeems us from the discomfort we would feel had that pillow not been there. Does that make sense? How many of you know that not only did you pull your head off your pillow, but you pulled a blanket off, right? Symbolizing, I am ready for the day. I may not be ready for the day, but I'm going to try and be ready for the day. Right? How many of you know that? How many of you are people who like to sleep with a fan on? Right? In Wisconsin, we still sleep with fans on, even as cold as it can get in the state. We still sleep with a fan on. I don't know. I'm somebody who sleeps with a fan on. You can call me weird. It's okay. But that's a bit how I operate. But it's interesting because we have a blanket, and it causes us and it brings us warmth, right? And out of that warmth, it redeems us from hypothermia. Right? It redeems us from the sense of feeling cold, and it brings us into a state of feeling comforted. Does it not? Are you still with me? Do you believe you have helpers now? See, we didn't even realize all the helpers we have. How many of you maybe then proceeded to pour a cup of hot coffee? Anybody? Anybody have a coffee drinker in here? Who's a quiet crowd today? It's okay, we can have some fun. It's all right. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Okay, so maybe you had a nice hot cup of coffee. Right? And it energized you. It caused you to come into a place of function. Maybe for kids it wasn't coffee, I don't know. I know coffee drinkers are getting younger and younger these days. But maybe for you it was juice, or it was something that refreshed your soul and your body to wake you up. But what it also did is it redeemed you from the grogginess and the drudginess of your day. It got you ready. It got you prepared. It helped you function. Now, what's so interesting is we can even break this down a little bit deeper, because it could be this pillow, right? And we often will advocate for certain things. We're like, this pillow is the amazing pillow. This is the best pillow. You feel like you put your head on head when you're wearing the, when you're sleeping and you have this pillow. Or maybe it's this kind of blanket. It's a heated blanket. It's an electric blanket. It's a blanket made from some type of real fine animal skin, and it keeps you warm. Maybe it's this coffee versus that coffee. Maybe we're Folgers people. Maybe we're Starbucks people. But we have this coffee. Oh, the whole front row of kids is like, that's my kind of coffee. Got expensive taste over here. Maybe for some of us, even moving beyond the material things, maybe it's some of the things we interact with. It's the relationships. I mean, come in, speaking of the younger section here, because I know many of you maybe are connected to some kind of social media or something like that. Or maybe some of us are. We're connected to recognizing news, and we read articles and things like that. And the truth of the matter is we read all of those things because the knowledge of knowing what's going on in our world gives us comfort to not feeling irrelevant. Is it not? Because when we're in the know, we feel relevant. And when we feel relevant, we can have conversation and we can function as people in our communities, in the places that we live. But it also maybe makes us feel like we have some sense of a following. That where we go, there are people who also know, that do life with us and go places with us. It gives us a feeling of importance because we realize that we have knowledge of what's current and what's happening. Whether it be social media or newspaper articles or whatever it may be that we sometimes consume, there is likely always a reason as to why we do those things, why we have those things, right? It's because we want to be both comforted to something, but also yet at the same time redeemed from something. We want it to solve an issue, but also give us exactly what it is that we hoped for or wanted. You know, it's interesting because over time we begin to have an expectation that the interaction with whatever those things are, maybe it's some of the ones I've mentioned, or even some more things that I'm going to mention here in the coming moments together, is we begin to have an expectation that the interaction with whatever it is that is on our mind, or whatever it is that maybe I just mentioned, is going to give us exactly what we want based on what it is. But here's what's interesting, and here's where it becomes maybe a bit problematic. When what we seek comfort and redemption in begins to run out. You ever thought about that? What happens when the cup of coffee runs out and it doesn't caffeinate like it did before? What happens when the pillow gets all lumpy and, you know, because you've slept on it so many times that it's just, it almost actually is now more uncomfortable than it is comfortable? And what you had hoped it would provide, the expectation you have of it, begins to run out. What happens when the blanket has been washed too many times and the comforter isn't so comforting anymore? It runs out and becomes paper thin. What happens when what we expect to be there to be our help comes to an end? You know, and I can suggest sometimes spiritually we struggle with this too. We carry spiritual lives, we live the most faithful lives we can live, we don't always do it perfectly, we don't always do it the best way or in the best way, we have our hurdles, but sometimes the truth of the matter is we come carrying an expectation, and when it isn't fulfilled, we begin to have frustration, because it's not what we wanted. Anybody ever been in a moment where you didn't get what you wanted? Right? Actually, I have a message that I preached before called, "I'm Not Getting What I Want." And we talked about it because, here we go. The front row, the kids are exposing their parents today. I'm not getting what I want, but I'm gonna help the kids out today. I'm gonna help you out today. It's gonna be great. Have you ever been in a moment, though, where what you wanted was just outside your grasp? You know, I'll say it this way, right? If I'm in the middle of the night and I'm laying there and the fan is breezing on me, right, and I'm beginning to get cold, but my wife happens to be hogging up all the blanket, and I just need a little bit of blanket to get myself warm, but it's early in the morning or late at night, however you want to look at it, and I just can't seem to get grasp of just a little bit of blanket to be warm. What happens when the things we desire spiritually feel like they're just outside our grasp? How do we address that? How do we walk through those seasons? Because if we're honest with ourselves, we've dealt with devastation and disappointment and frustration surrounding them. You know, the truth of the matter is much of our lives oftentimes feel like they're lived in the sense of always wanting to be more than whatever it is that currently exists. Are you still with me today? So here's my question today. The question is, where does your help come from? Where does your help come from? I know some of you are already pointing. You know the answer. And it's good, I think we all have an understanding what the answer is. But for some of us today, do we truly live it? Do we truly live in recognizing that He is our Savior? Jesus is our Savior, He's our Lord, and He's our help. But not only that, is He your help? And do you know where your help comes from? But how do you find comfort and redemption again when you feel it's been missing? Some of us maybe have been through difficult seasons, struggles. We've gone through some things we're working through, and we're people in process, aren't we? We're people in progress, and we're people in process. And so when we're in these places, sometimes it becomes very difficult because we feel like we hit a wall, and we're trying to work through it, but we can't seem to find comfort and redemption. today, but my hope and my prayer, not only for us as a community, as a body, but outside of this community, that the help that the Lord provides will come to be known more clearly for those who don't yet know. I hope that's our hope and our prayer too. That we would receive clarity, but we would also help provide clarity, or at least point to the one who brings that clarity. So that's where we're going to go this afternoon. I almost said morning again. Man, we're going to figure it out, okay? It's been a long day, but that's all right. God's good. So we're going to talk, and it's interesting because this message was actually meant to be preached a few weeks ago, but the Lord, I think, designed it in a way where it was meant to be preached today. There's a reason, there's a purpose behind it. But this was actually meant to be preached before Palm Sunday. And so it's interesting, you're going to find exactly why that maybe was the case. But I really believe it's valuable for today. How many of you know the Word of God is alive and active, not dead and passive? It's alive and active. It cuts through the most unique of places. Today, though, we're going to talk about the resurrection, or a resurrection, that came before the resurrection. We're going to unpack that today. So if you want to step with me in John 11, we're going to go 17 through 37. It's kind of a big block of scripture. I'm not exactly always aware of how service goes, but to give you 20 verses today, I know may feel like a lot to chew on and marinate on and observe and reflect, but today we're going to kind of break this down in pieces, and I'm going to walk this along with you so that by the end of this message, you can step out of whatever is next and step into knowing where your help is coming from. Amen? You good? Is this valuable to you? I hope this is valuable to you, right? All right, let's go ahead. It says this, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, I don't think any of us need to be explained to you that if you've been in a tomb for 4 days, it's likely that you're not just camping out of there. So Lazarus has passed. Lazarus has died, and it has been 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. These two women were grieving intensely and immensely over the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. This is interesting. But Mary stayed home. And I'm going to pause here for a second because if you know anything about Mary and Martha, Martha often was the proactive one. She was the one who was cleaning the house, doing all the work, while Mary's like, I'm just going to sit at the feet of Jesus. But we find it interesting now, then we would have thought maybe Mary would have been the one that had ran off to go find Jesus, and yet we find and discover that it's actually Martha who is going to find Jesus. But Mary stayed home. And then this powerful statement, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Don't let that soak for a second. While I take a sip of water. Here's the first part of this message. Here's the first point of this message. If you've been truly, and I believe for many of us, maybe we understand and we want and we desire Jesus to be our continual and consistent Savior and Helper. That's the truth of the matter. But sometimes to address it, but also live it, is where the difficulty sometimes begins to happen, right? Because our humanity, our nature, tends to want to try to do things on our own, to work things out ourselves, to pick up our shoelaces and go, and to figure it out. And sometimes it's really the pause to ask the Helper that's the most important part of it all. Here's my first point, though. The resurrection of life engages with our unmet expectations. Jesus, the resurrection of life, engages with our unmet expectations. I can imagine Jesus traveling knowing Lazarus was dead for 4 days, probably knew that there was going to be some feelings of unmet expectations held by somebody against him for the work that they felt he had not done. We sometimes do this because in the midst of it all, we go, Lord, where are you? Now, here's the interesting thing and a historical lesson for you if you're a history person. Anybody a history person? A little bit of a history person? All right, one person is a history person. Perfect. We're going to fill your history tank today. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus arrived. Now, before I get to the history lesson, it says that Bethany was less than 2 miles. However, Jesus needed the 4 days to travel because it was 40 miles away from where he was at that moment in time. How many of you know this? When tragedy strikes, when difficulty happens, when frustration and situations enter into your life, sometimes it feels like the comfort is 2 miles away, it's not that far, but the Redeemer is 40 miles away. It's easy for us to embrace comfort, but you know, if we're really honest with ourselves, we appreciate the comfort, don't we? I appreciate comfort, trust me, I appreciate my pillow and my blanket, I appreciate all those things. But in this situation and in this regard, it was great to be comforted, but what they really wanted was the situation to be redeemed. The comfort was great, but the redemption was what was desired. And I believe for many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we feel like comfort can come close, but redemption feels so far away. But you know what's really interesting? You know what the name Lazarus means in Scripture? God is my help. God is my help. And so even when you can't realize it, even when you feel like redemption is 40 miles away, your name does not need to be Lazarus in order to know that God is your help. Here's the history lesson. The Jewish superstition that existed at that time was that when somebody passed, there was a 3-day period and window where the soul of that individual who died would stay near the grave hoping for a return to the body. And there was this 3-day period where there was this time where potentially the soul would come back to the body and it remained and it hovered around the grave. Now, what day are we? So you can imagine that they feel there is no chance for hope. There is no hope for any redemption because it had passed its window. It was past superstition. It was past belief, but you know what? It wasn't past the supernatural. It wasn't past the supernatural for this to be possible. And you're going to find, as many of you I'm sure know, that the end and the conclusion of this, someone comes on. But Martha, you can imagine, is stating her disappointment. You know, I love it almost feels passive-aggressive, doesn't it? I'm not suggesting anybody be passive-aggressive in this room, okay? It's actually sometimes worse than being aggressive. It's being passive-aggressive because it feels mysterious. The Lord, hey, if you had been here, my brother would have died. Can you imagine saying that to our Lord? I kind of love how honest Martha is. She just sets it straight with Jesus. She doesn't hold back. She is authentically and grievingly herself in her disappointment on Jesus' lack and delayed arrival. She's honest about her unmet expectations. And you know what? Jesus does not leave when she shares them. She stays in. But the moment Lazarus died, she was probably waiting and wondering because there was no herb, there was no oil, there was no substance, there was nothing that was going to save Lazarus besides the miraculous work of Jesus. That was it. That's all she had. And it's sometimes what we feel is all we have. Jesus, you were supposed to be here to help. You were supposed to help me. Where were you? What happened? Why didn't you? The questions began to flood in. Here's something that I feel is very important. If you want to know the Lord as your helper, great, or more great, it's time for us to take a cue from Martha and be present and honest about our unmet expectations. Now see, some of us, we struggle to be honest about the things that we expected of God that we feel were unmet because we don't want to disturb Him, we don't want to frustrate Him, we don't want the situation to feel like it might become worse because now we're complaining. But yet He engages with our unmet expectations. And I will tell you this, being present and honest about your unmet expectations may not heal your situations, but I believe they will help you and ultimately help heal you. Being honest about your unmet expectations may not change situations, but it will change you in the situation. Be honest about your unmet expectations. You know, it's interesting, my wife and I, we really try to work hard to communicate, as most married people and married couples do, right? We have some newly married couples, some long-time married couples, and so communication is key, right? We hear that through premarital counseling, and at the altar, and after the altar, and when tension comes, we don't learn to communicate. But you know, sometimes I realize, my wife to me, and me to my wife, that if I'm not honest about what is happening, something different may never happen. honest and we don't communicate about things, things may not change. It's the communication sometimes that is the beginning and the starting of bringing about that change. So I ask you this, what have you been hiding that could have changed what happened had you spoke about it? You know, I would imagine that Jesus would still have resurrected Lazarus from the dead, but what if Martha had not said anything? What if she had not been honest and present with her own expectations? Tell me this, friend. Jesus can handle your complaints. Jesus can handle the hurts of your own expectations. At Greenfield, where I have the privilege to serve, I know you're a pastor, but I like to say lead servant, because that's really what it's about. But we have what I like to call the phrase that you carry with you. The phrase you take with you and you walk with it and you hold it and you keep it and you remember it. And this is the point for you this afternoon, my Ethiopian friends. Jesus can bring comfort and redemption to any situation. He can bring both comfort and redemption to any situation. It goes on and it says this. Sorry for the coughing. I know that's not an attractive look. But it says this. But I know, this is Martha, but I know that even now God will give whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. We're going to talk about that. But Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You imagine she probably didn't even know what she was in for. In just probably a few moments. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. But we are thankful for the Lord that we know is going to come back someday. We don't know when. We honestly work very hard to try to predict when he might come back. And we look at the nature of our world to try to determine that. And friends, I just want to encourage you today, as I shared with our service this morning, let's not get so consumed in when the Lord, it's important for us to be reminded that the Lord will return, but let's not be so consumed in his returning that we don't live out his mission. We still have a mission that's meant to be lived out. She said, yes, Lord. Jesus said, do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That was a really deep, very powerful piece of scripture, and we're going to kind of unpack this a little bit for us today. But here's my second point. To know the resurrection and life as your helper. How many of you want to know the resurrection and life as your helper? Because we've looked to help in a lot of places that do not provide the help we're looking for. Or the help has run out because it is temporary and not eternal. But here's the second point. The resurrection and life operates outside of our realm of reality. Jesus operates outside our realm of reality. See, realistically, and Martha believed that Lazarus could be raised from the dead realistically when he was alive. He could be healed when he was alive, realistically. Not know that he's dead. See, because dead meant done, but for Jesus it doesn't. Dead doesn't mean done for Jesus. But Martha in this moment is not confident that Jesus would be able to raise her brother, and Jesus makes the statement, your brother will rise again. That Jesus actually isn't even saying it's going to happen right now. It doesn't imply that it's going to be immediate. Like I'm sure Martha, as you're going to come to find shortly here, Mary is going to feel. It doesn't imply that it's going to happen right now. And this is important for us. Because how many of you know, we're going to talk a little bit about God's timing in just a few moments. But how many of you know, as time goes on, it feels like it's harder to begin to believe? As time goes on, it's harder to believe it's possible. Because it feels like more of the impossible begins to flood the situation, not making you feel like it is possible. And yet Jesus takes the time to have a conversation with Martha to help her come back to a place of belief. Again, he says, do you believe this? Do you believe it's possible? There's a passage of scripture, we have passages where it talks about help, and Lord knows we all need some help, don't we? We all need help. And I'm not talking about a little coffee, a whole lot of Jesus kind of help, okay? We just need a lot of help. One of the scriptures I came back to was reminded of again. This is the moment where the passage said, help my disbelief. Look, let's be honest, friends. We all are believers, are we not? Hopefully, and if you're not, I hope today maybe is an opportunity to come to a place of belief in the midst of what may feel like disbelief. But can I tell you, to be an ongoing believer 100%, 100% of the time is difficult. If we're really honest and authentic with ourselves, there are moments where we really consider, is this possible, and can I truly believe? Can I truly believe that this can happen? Can I truly believe that you are who you say you are? I believe it's important for us to walk through the moments where we may have doubt and disbelief. And you know what I love? The Lord doesn't run away when we have those moments. He doesn't run away, he engages and he stands in and he helps us get to that place. See, it was a conversation with Martha that brings her back to a place of belief again. I tell you, when you are in a place of disbelief, don't run from what it is that's caused your struggle. Run towards the one who can help you within it. You know, it's interesting, I would say a lot of people leave the church today. This is probably a little bit of leadership content. But a lot of people leave the church today due to disbelief that they don't carry in conversation with someone. There's so much disbelief, and the disbelief turns to shame, and the shame turns to distance and isolation, and it causes us not to come back to a place to have a conversation with the Lord to get us to the place of belief again. She begins to say, even now, I know you can live up. I know you can. But I also believe you can. We can know a lot of things about God, friends. Can we? We've got a lot of knowledge in here. Sure, we can recite scripture after scripture, but can you believe it? When our, you know, message, when it's easy, be our method when it's hard. So I ask you this question. What is your even now? Martha had her even now. What has been your fourth day disappointment? Is it a wayward child? Is it frustration in school? Is it a problem relationally with somebody? A difficulty? A tension that you've wanted reconciliation for but just can't seem to find? Is it a difficulty in your job? Is it a difficulty with an employee or a coworker? What is your fourth day disappointment? And have you had a conversation with the one who can help your disbelief surrounding you? Because Jesus didn't say, I have resurrection and life. He said, I am resurrection and life. I embody it. I embody it. And anyone who can predict their own death and then predict their resurrection and then live to tell the story, I'm all in. I'm leaning in 100%, if not more. If somebody can say, look, I am going to crucify and die, and then I'm going to rise again in 3 days, and then I'm going to come back and tell you about it, I'm all in. I'm leaning all in. I'm convinced. And sometimes that has been the moment that has had to help me in the midst of my disbelief. That Jesus could share about his crucifixion, his resurrection, and then live to tell his story. And it reminds us today that no matter what you've been disturbed by and frustrated by, that feels like death is only an entry into eternity. So what am I saying? What does the Lord say? What I love about Mary is that she understood that at some point Lazarus would live again. And she understood that, but it took believing that even in the today, something miraculous could take place. And I tell you this, friends, and I believe it's important, and this is going to be so helpful for us this afternoon, is that we both understand the ultimate, like Mary or Martha did. Martha understood the ultimate. Someday, Lord, you will raise Lazarus, and there will be eternity forever. But believe for today. That even though the outcome doesn't seem possible, that you would still believe. And here's the thing, when you believe for today, when you understand, you believe in the immediate, but you understand the ultimate, it brings you peace no matter what the result. Because you realize, if it doesn't happen, if that person passes, if something takes place, praise the Lord. If it works out and they live to tell the story, then praise God, they live to tell the story. Jesus can bring comfort and redemption in any situation. I'm almost finished here. You getting hungry? I don't know. You know, someone's getting hungry. You're always hungry about that. But I don't know the interaction here from the front row. This is fun. You should get them all to lower the pens and just have them like review every Sunday. I think it'd be great. After she had said this, she went back. And this was, honestly, this was a symptom of belief. She went back. She comes back and she calls her sister Mary aside. This is really important. We're going to talk about this. The teacher is here. The teacher is here. And is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. I just want to take a moment and pause. When you choose to accept and embrace belief in the midst of what seems impossible, people will follow. People will follow. How you respond in tragedy could be someone who follows you, their testimony. Jesus, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think it's so pivotal. And could it be more expressed in this part of this passage? When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, right? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It sounds repetitive, doesn't it? Now, Jesus is gracious and kind, but if it were me, I'd probably been like, yeah, I've heard that story before. I just heard it not all that long ago. But when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews would come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Can I tell you, I believe the Spirit of God is troubled over our troubles. I believe he's deeply moved by what deeply moves us. And it goes on, and we know this to be true. Because just in a short moment, it says, where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They replied. And then the most iconic, shortest, the easiest passage to memorize in all of Scripture is presented. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? When situations come up, we have two options. We can either recognize how much the Lord truly loves us and embrace his timing, or only speculate always about what he had not done. And which one will we be? One that embraces the love of God, realizing he loves us despite our wants and wishes that did not come to pass, our expectations that became unmet? Or will we continue to speculate about the nature of who he is? Here's my last point. The resurrection and life can handle our hurt. If you're hurting, the resurrection life can handle your hurt. He's God. He can handle your hurt. He doesn't pace the halls of heaven anxious and worried. We wait for 2 hours hurt. He can handle it. It actually says, and it speaks in Scripture about his righteous right hand. He didn't even need his left hand. He can hold it all. He can handle our hurt. But for Mary, it was the same case as Martha. She expected that immediately, Lazarus would have been healed, Jesus would have shown up, and it would have taken place. Many of you probably know this, seasoned believers, you recognize this, and I'll share it with you though. Loving Jesus doesn't keep us from the tragedy of humanity. Loving Jesus does not keep us from the difficulty and tragedy of humanity. You know what tragedy actually allows us to know? It allows us to know we can be taught. Tragedy teaches us, does it not? I'd be remiss if I believe that most of us have been through some type of tragedy at some point or another. And you probably walked out of that tragedy as a living testimony today, being able to share the lessons that you learned and you taught. And can I tell you, there's an incredible generation that you are speaking into, that you are giving and breathing life to. I love the leadership that's taking place amongst young people. But you have lessons that life has not been lived yet in this time. And the tragedies you share about God's faithfulness through it all can help those who begin to potentially face tragedies. We are not escaping tragedy, but we can be taught. And we know that Jesus says, the teacher is here. I love that, the teacher is here. Now, I wasn't always great at school, And so if you told me in sixth grade the teacher's here, I'd probably be like, oh no. What did I do? But I found that it's so important to be taught. And I tell you, if you want to know God as your helper, if you want to know the Lord more deeply in a helping, knowing him as your helper, make yourself available to be taught. And notice that both Mary and Martha approached Jesus. Jesus did not walk into them. It's going to take some effort. It will take some tenacity in the midst of your tragedy, in the midst of your frustration, to go find Jesus. It's sometimes the hardest thing to do because we don't even know what to say once we arrive there. But my question is, if you know he's the teacher, will you become the student? Actually, that's what the word disciple breaks down to, student. Learner. That's what we were meant to be all along. God reminds us that we're not perfect, but that we can learn. One of the things I was actually talking with Fred Solomon here about a little bit after service, and one of the things that I think makes it difficult, I'm going to tell you what I think is the most difficult challenge, but also one of the greatest things. Because how many of you know great things don't always come without difficulty? Sometimes the greatest things are the most difficult things. And it's hard to want to go into it, but it's great when we get there. Right? We're playing an instrument. But you're so frustrated, playing the piano, playing the same two songs, playing Hot Cross Buns 50 times. But somehow it begins to build and develop within you. But here's the thing, one of our greatest challenges, but also one of our greatest things, is that we live in a world that desires instant gratification, don't we? Do you know you're living in a world that likes and enjoys instant gratification? If you were in a drive-thru today, it's possible that you wanted instant gratification. But one of the greatest things that we can learn is that in our instant gratification world is realizing that God isn't always instant, but it doesn't change the perfection of his timing. I'm going to say it again. One of the greatest things, most importantly, the greatest thing we can learn in our instant gratification society and world is that God isn't always instant, but it doesn't change the perfection of his timing. See, here's the difference. The truth of the matter is this. God can only do things in perfect timing because he's perfect. He can only do it in perfect timing because that is who he is. This is nature. He can't do anything different. He doesn't shift out of perfect timing to imperfect timing. He does perfect timing, and so it's tough because we feel frustrated because it's not happening in our timing, but can I tell you, maybe God is preparing it in his perfect timing. And that's the best thing that we can embrace and know. I'm sorry, but I feel like I've been preaching for 3 hours, but it's okay. I'm like combining this morning and this afternoon. Jesus may have responded to what everybody felt like was a delay. But the plan was not destroyed. Everybody felt that he had responded and he was totally delayed. Hit him now. And Jesus said, you may think it was delayed, but the plan is not destroyed. But one of the things Jesus also did is he wept. I tell you, friends, allow yourself to feel. Allow yourself to feel. Like it's okay, like emotions are good. Sometimes our response out of our emotions can cause it to not be good. But allow yourself to feel. Just because he's the resurrection and the life doesn't mean that we're not supposed to feel emotion. I gotta imagine this amazing situation is Jesus is weeping. Can you imagine the Savior of the world weeping and witnessing it? Take a moment to weep. I feel like sometimes, can I just share with you something for a second? Is that okay? Yeah, I kind of ask for permission on this one. I think sometimes we abandon our emotions and we try to call it right. We abandon our emotions because we feel like if we actually live in our emotions, if we act upon or we feel our emotions, we feel like it no longer is faith. But can I tell you, maybe one of the most faithful things you can do is feel. Because it's the true authenticity of what it is in that moment that you are hurting and holding and harboring and you're feeling. Can I tell you, God can't change who we pretend to be. So why not let our most authentic self just come to a place where we can feel? It's really not, you know, the truth of the matter is it's not always the feeling that ends up crippling us. It's the fact that we didn't bring it to the right person. Allow yourself to feel. Let's not abandon our emotions and try to call it faith. Not only can Jesus handle our hurts, but he identifies them. That's why Jesus recognized you one of the most powerful scriptures in all of scripture. Jesus can bring comfort and redemption in that institution. I'm almost done, so if we want to bring, I don't know if you want to come back and just play. You stick for a little bit, is that okay? Can we do that?
Is that alright? You know, we're looking at each other. I don't play guitar, so it's going to be really bad.
Alright. Great, it's season now, right?
I don't know, you just strum anything.
You could strum a nursery rhyme, maybe you would follow along, I don't know, but.
The end of the story is not the ending. Jesus once more deeply came to the tomb. It was a cave that with a stone laid across the entrance. Doesn't it feel like we just were living in this? Remembering Resurrection Sunday? And here again, even before the resurrection, there was a resurrection that took place. Take away the stone, he said, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I tell you, when we're in pain, let's pray. And let's thank God. God, I thank you that you heard me. Even when it doesn't feel like you heard me because you haven't answered me, you still heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. How many of you know how you respond in the midst of unmet expectations could become the testimony that somebody carries in their life because they saw how you demonstrated faithfulness in the midst of your frustration? When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice. I'm not going to yell because my voice isn't great, but Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. You know, I wonder if he might be saying the same thing to some of us today. As we have seated ourselves in the tomb of our frustrations, come out. Come find life. Don't stay in the barriers of your isolation. But come and in relationship with me because I have been waiting for you and I am thankful to be with you and I am prepared to hear you. The victories, the complaints, the frustrations, the great moments, I'm here for all of it. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the in-between. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and wrapped the strips of linen in the cloth on his face, and Jesus said to him, take off the great clothes. Let him go. Freedom and redemption. Freedom and redemption. Now again, a bit of a history or a bit of a pivotal moment in scripture is that the miracle of Lazarus is really what would be the entry to the crucifixion of Jesus. See, the Jewish and religious leaders at the time had gotten word of this, because to raise somebody from the dead, especially after 4 days, broke every superstition, every law, every thought, every single thing that they could have mindfully put together. It surpassed all of it. And in and out of this moment is their determination to begin to kill Jesus, to take Jesus out. Can I tell you, though, in the moments where a decision needs to be made, don't choose your comfort over your destiny. Don't choose safety over opportunity. Don't settle for less when there's an opportunity to sacrifice more. Let's not settle. Jesus knew, and maybe part of why Jesus wept is he knew what was ahead. And yet he still chose at the moment to raise his friend Lazarus. And it says to me, I'm going to share this with you. This is, I'm getting really personal now, okay? We have a vulnerable moment. Everybody okay with a vulnerable moment? A transparent moment for me? I'm showing you an archive from the history of my life. Alright? You can laugh. It's okay, because I did. I have been. But I started this message off with things that bring me comfort and redemption. As a young child, an infant, my pillow was my comfort. And my redemption, maybe to some degree, even though I couldn't even say that word. But I carried around this pillow everywhere. It was my creature comfort. It's what I laid my head on. It's what I carried around. To be honest with you, I probably would still carry around a pillow today if there wasn't a judgment of laziness upon me for doing so.
okay? I said, come hang out. And I walked out of my room and I said, look at my pillow. What an amazing pillow, right? You'd be like, are you okay? Can you afford a pillow? Why are you still laying on a pillow? Your head way too big for that pillow. And this pillow isn't really even comfortable anymore. It's kind of just a relic of my childhood. Maybe not that pillow. You know, it's interesting, my sister, I was the pillow guy. My sister was the blanket person. I was past the pillow, she was sister sheets. So she had a blanket. I don't have it here today, but the blanket began as this really great blanket, handmade, all this stuff. Now it's just this square, like this big. And there's a point I'm making to this. Because sometimes you have to let go of what used to comfort you. Sometimes what you think has been comforting you can't comfort you anymore. But the only one who truly can comfort you and redeem you and continuously and consistently do it is the Lord. He's the only one. That pillow does not work for me anymore. See, what's interesting is for Lazarus, the linen was probably a wrapping over him to try to keep him comfortable. I don't know why they tried to comfort a dead man. But we do try to comfort dead things, don't we? But they wrapped Lazarus in linen to try to comfort him, or to at least comfort the ones that were grieving him. And when Jesus says this, take off the strips of linen. Let him go. He's alive. And I would say the same thing to us today. Are you willing to let go of the linen? Are you willing to let the things die that need to die so that you can live? To be comforted and redeemed differently than the way we feel right now, we may need to stop doing the same thing. It's time to choose a better way. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, maybe what it is in your life is not resurrecting because you haven't let something die first. Some of us have been looking for a resurrection, but what we've been looking for a resurrection in is actually the thing that needs to die first. It's the thing that we've tried to find comfort and redemption in that cannot provide comfort and redemption. It is temporal. It is not eternal. And so today, we're all in this. We're all in this moment. We do two things at Poplar Creek Greenfield, and we're going to do the very same today. As we get close, we do salvation and education. Or inspiration. Something to cause you to be so inclined to move to action. But for salvation, I can't think of a better thing to bring as an entry point to an opportunity is the passage, I am the resurrection and the life. I care, I saved the world, I served the world, I carried the burden of sin and shame, and I brought it to a cross that was an instrument of death, but now is a symbol of life. Today, I don't know where you're at, but I don't know who's new, I'm new. Who got a first time guest speak? That's amazing. But we have what's called repentance. Letting the old God so the new can come alive. Would you stand your feet if you can today? If this is you, and you are now encountering the resurrection of your life, I ask you, moments in a life-changing moment. And today, I believe that there's an opportunity for someone in this room to say yes to salvation. And what a great honor it would be to lead you in prayer for them. If that's you today, would you simply slip a hand? I know we got a lot of friends who are looking good in suits and khakis, and you've been doing church for a long time. Maybe some of you are the kids of those who are in suits and khakis, and you've been doing church ever since you were young. That's right. But if there's someone in this room, your soul is contemplating today. Prayer to say yes. Would you simply slip a hand? I'm going to trust our family. What I say to our people is, if they need salvation, it's certainly education. If you're saved, then it's about being educated, right? Continue. Keep all works in progress. So here's what I want to share with you today. Three things. There we go. Hey, this would be a good time. Where have you gone for help? You know, I'll tell you, we really can't do the other things without addressing that first. Where have you gone for help? Can I tell you? I think one of the biggest struggles in the Christian church today is, brothers and sisters, is to be honest and authentic about whatever it is that we may be walking through and going through. And yet we can't seem to find ourselves to go for help because we're concerned about the result that waits on the other side when we share what we have. And today I want to encourage you as a body, as a family. And I hope maybe you are sharing authentically. If you are, great. But if you have been struggling with being able to share authentically with somebody, what an opportunity today, as this message has been preached, to be able to come and say, Lord, I need your help, but I also may need somebody else's help as well. It may be finding somebody in this body. Notice that Jesus says, take the linen off. He didn't take it off himself. We know he bare the burden of sin and death, but he asked people to partner with him to pull the strips of linen away. Where have you gone for help? And approach it. And when you approach it, have you spoken about what you have felt has been unmet? Have you shared your unmet expectations? I'm going to actually share with you an example of a prayer that I've prayed recently that includes these. But have you shared about your unmet expectations? And in the midst of it, can you still yet trust that God is in it? Have you allowed yourself to feel and made yourself available to be taught? You invited. I'll share with you, you can hear my voice has not been amazing. I've actually been dealing with this for over a month. And it's tough. I talk for a living, so this is not, this is a really tough time. I actually said, Lord, I'll trade all the aches and pains so I can just get my voice back. I prayed that prayer. Well, no, it's most amazing or poetic prayer, but I prayed. But let me walk you through an exercise here. Lord, I trust you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that, God, you are good. And I'm asking you for help. We are asking you for help. Lord, today I ask for your help. I'm frustrated. My voice has not been able to come back into clarity. I'm thankful for the progress, but Lord, I'm truly in just need of healing. I want to do right by you. I want to live out your call. I want to be able to share the gospel with the world and those that I interact with. But Lord, this has been difficult. It's caused me to be frustrated. It's caused me to be consumed in it, to think about it constantly. But Lord, today I let it go and I leave it to you and I trust you in the midst of it. But Lord, today if you are teaching me something through this season, Lord, today help me to identify what it is so that, Lord, I can be a more mature, a more understood, and more effective disciple. Lord, I thank you for this, and I am so grateful you have heard this prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. See, look, you can pray along with me. I was giving you an example. What could it look like if we did that? What if we're just honest about our own expectations? I don't typically know how you close or how you end your services, but I really welcome to have a moment of being with you at this altar. You're willing to take that time. Truthfully, sometimes this is the place where this side of church is probably one of my biggest complaint departments. This is a moment where I just kind of, I oftentimes have it out with God. It's like, but you know what? I have to imagine that the linen that was taken off of Lazarus' body wasn't to comfort him anymore, but it was the symbol of who he did. I've had moments at this altar where I've battled. Now I know those today as a symbol of God's faithfulness in my past. If he's been faithful in my past, who's to say he's not going to be faithful in my present? And in my future, and in your future, and in our futures together. So I'm going to do some just good praying. I'm going to invite you to come on up. And maybe do a little bit of what I've done. Maybe you're the Mary or the Martha that you just need to come in here and just have it. I'm frustrated. Why is this not different than the way I hoped it would be? Let's see what God does. It says he restores our soul. He refreshes our soul. Which means our soul had something prior to it in order for it to be refreshed. I'm going to pray, I'll open up these altars, take a few moments, and then I'll let whoever's meant to close. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here this afternoon. It's a pleasure and an honor. I don't know if I took more time than I should, but I know you're going to go. I can enjoy some additional things that are happening afterwards that you can be aware of. But thank you. On behalf of the church, thank you. I'm so grateful for an opportunity to be a church that can be a church. Does that make sense? To be a church that can be a church. That this place is your home just as much as it's ours. I'm grateful. But I know we may have some work to do in the present. So Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you today that we can reflect back on this thousands of years later and still be able to grab from your goodness. So Lord, today I don't know where we're at. I don't know the unmet expectations we feel. We have the pressure we put on ourselves or others have put on us. I don't know, Lord, maybe where we've totally approached or gone. I don't even know maybe what kind of things we've really felt and shared. But Lord, today I thank you that in this word and in this moment, you're giving us the reason to which we came. So Lord, today may we not miss what it is that you desire for us. Thank you for it. Lord, I pray for all my friends. May their Sunday change their Monday and someone else's Monday. In Jesus' name.